for tapes of end time meetings, deliverance services, or Lake Hamilton Bible Campground's publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Writes Post Office Box 21516, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, zip 71903.
Our website is www.lakehamiltonbiblecamp.com
or lhbconline.com.
There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Sunday morning, May the 25th, 1980. Memorial Weekend Deliverance Seminar, Lake Hamilton Bible Camp, Hot Springs, Arkansas. Margus Haggard of Yorktown, Indiana, is the teacher of the morning. This tape is two tapes.
Bless Brother Haggard this morning, the anointing of the Lord to rest upon him. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Amen, amen. Praise the Lord.
Am I on?
You're on.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
I was just looking for a scripture here, but we'll find it during... I'm always looking for a scripture. Something comes to my mind, and I just can't find it right off the bat. And then I just keep looking. And sometimes, coming out here, I was looking for when Paul said, "Well, come on, Wynn." Well, here, you want the mic?
All I wanted to do, some people have been asking me where I'm going to be and everything. I never can remember, so I wrote it down. There's a schedule on the back wall where I'll be, the telephone numbers, and people that are in charge of meetings. If you're interested, it's taped up there on the wall, so don't take the copy. It's Irma's. She might get hostile.
And don't go away. I wanted to tell you how important this workshop was. Now, you see...
You're holding the blank side up.
Well, anyway, I want to just simply mention the fact that Wynn has pioneered deliverance as we see it today. I don't know of any individual that has just really stuck tenaciously to it and put it on paper. And every time I get around Wynn, it's no wonder there's a line waiting to talk to him, because he always tells of some past experience running into this demon or that demon. And last night there were several experiences, you know, that we hadn't seen recently. Now, this workshop at Hegwich, the purpose of it is just simply the Hegwich Baptist Church, out of their own efforts and so forth, took it upon themselves to have a deliverance workshop. And I haven't ever heard of a deliverance workshop before. But, you know, a workshop in our business, and Dr. Patterson, probably he gets flyers through the mail where they have a wet workshop and a dry workshop. And a wet workshop is where you really get in there and you get the animals, or he gets the people, or whatever. I don't know how they'd have a wet workshop. But anyway, we have wet workshops because we actually have the animals and everything, and the bones and so forth, and the blood and the animals alive and anesthetized. Now, a dry workshop is where you just go and they maybe would, you'd put together two bones of a skeleton and put a plate on it. And then, of course, there is just an ordinary workshop where you just go and you take notes and stuff like that. There's all kinds of classes. Well, I'll guarantee you what you saw here last night is just what that wet workshop is. It just simply lets it all go. Now, the primary purpose is just to learn to do deliverance. There isn't any, like he said, we're going to take our laundries with us. I like that, because that's what we're going to talk about this morning, is how to have a home laundry. And we need that home laundry. Now, as usual, I have to apologize about some things. I really do believe that it would be a good policy, when you're going to look stuff up that a person has talked about, to wait till after the meeting, till the speaker's gone home, and until you're home, and then write a nice letter or something like that. You don't have to be so blunt about it, Morris. Morris just cornered me right back there in the kitchen, and he had been doing some research on what we talked about yesterday. And I mentioned the fact that I shouldn't have cut down. Well, I'm always saying something about Glenn being a thorn in my side, or Wynn being a thorn in my side, you know, because Paul had one. And So I called Wynn Worley a hunk of dirt yesterday. And, you know, I tell you what, well, that's what the demons call him, and that's what we are. We're just dirt. We're just clay, you see, made out of the earth, and that's what we have to realize our body is. Well, then later on I made a very bad remark about him, and Morris even made you folks a part of the sin by saying they laughed at that. Now, is it all right with you, Morris, if I go ahead and expound on what you found out? Well, see, I did a tape on 40 persons with whom not to fellowship. In other words, there are 40 kinds of people listed in the Bible with whom we're not to fellowship. Now, if you think, you know, if you think you're cleaned up and if you think you've started to change your life, you just start to live by the Word of God.
Amen.
And I'm telling you, you might have to build a fence around your place and change jobs. I don't know. But Jesus didn't intend for us. Now, anything I'm saying, the Bible's practical. And I believe we're to stay where we are. We're to keep our job unless our job is sinful. Now, if you are participating in a sin on your job, and it's certainly written out in the Word that you are, then I think a person should change that job. But the idea was that in that fellowship, you know what fellowship means in the Bible? With whom not to fellowship? See, fellowship actually can't be done without the Spirit of Jesus Christ, you see. So actually, Jesus Christ, there is a scripture that supports that the fellowshipping of a believer has to occur with the Spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ entering in. Now, it also defines fellowship as much as any intention, see, of having a social relationship. Now, a fellow in our group named George Wright, and he's president of Full Gospel, his wife's president of Glow there in Muncie, and he said, when we were discussing in our group, that he considered fellowship as much as just asking a guy to go have a cup of coffee with him. And I just really was, I was against that till I got to looking up the original language. And any kind of a planned deal outside of a missionary effort. Now, if you have in mind evangelizing that guy, if you have in mind talking to him about his soul or demonstrating the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, then it's permissible for you to associate with him. But according to the Scripture, we have to be very careful who we fellowship with. And one of those that it mentions not to fellowship with is a railer. And that's what I mentioned yesterday, that I had to be careful because the Bible defines me as a railer when I do that. So I looked it up, and it has this one classification of a railer is a satirical joke or jesting. And you see, actually what Morris did, he took the thesaurus and run that thing clear down. And a Christian shouldn't be doing that. In other words, it's not spiritual for me to be poking fun at wind. So I'm going to get him some other way. surely I'll think of something, right? You know, the Baptists have their righteous indignation, and so they can get mad. And other people, they have other things that are, you know, everything. They have some kind of a spiritual explanation for them. So I'll get Wynn some other way. But Wynn, I will try to clean it up a little. I want you to put me on the list of wants you to forgive. You were so hard on people not forgiving, you know. Well, deep down, you might have a hurt, Wynn. And by the way, you might be interested to know, let's see, is that girl here that was sitting by you last night, Rachel?
Carol.
Is Carol here this morning? Yeah, there she is. I don't think she minds me saying that when Wynn mentioned Ruth Carter Stapleton, why, Carol said, "Oh, no," and then, burp. And then she turned to me and said, "You know, I believe I did deliver us from Ruth Carter Stapleton spirits." Deep inner healing, you see, that we hear that all the time. Well, I tell you what, we're going to cover some things this morning that In the first place, I think the salvation of everybody that has heaviness or despondency this morning or is a little low, I think we have to understand that the Scriptures really are the only thing that just really lift a person up.
Amen.
And we're going to talk this morning about, we just asked the Father to bring to our minds the things that we should discuss and talk about. And we loose into every mind here. We bind a strong man over this campground. We bind a strong man over Hot Springs. I liked what Wynn did last night when he said, I bind the principalities and the powers and the so forth from my position. See, from my position and seated in the heavenlies. See, that's taking real spiritual authority because we are seated up there at the right-hand side of God. And by the way, I said something about, and I shouldn't even bring it up probably, but anyway, Lord brought it to my mind. So the scripture I was looking for was 2 Peter 3:22. In 2 Peter 3:22, it's a very interestingly worded verse, and it has something to do with this morning's dissertation. I guess it does now. I believe it's 1 Peter 3:22. Yeah, 1 Peter 3:22. And does everybody have writing material, or should we pass that out? Do you need anybody need writing material or pens or anything like that? Well, if the ushers will come forward, we'll just simply pass out receiving the mind of Christ in full, or the scripture relation. I'd like to ask you to agree with me in mind and have one mind and not see the hazardous thing about passing, just give them to everybody so that they'll have writing material on the back. The reason that people do not like to pass material out during a... come on, get some. Then you can start at the back. Morris is... Well, I'm not going to say that. Boy, I caught that just in time. Thank you, Lord. I tell you, my life's going to change considerably if I have to stop poking fun at people. Sure I am, Jim. Now, the reason you see that we hesitate to pass material out like this is because people read ahead. They sit there and read the whole thing while you're talking about the first item. So I'm going to ask you just simply to cooperate, and that the Lord will give you an agreement of mind in saying that the thing that we're discussing calls for I have to be careful of my words here, an agreement of our minds as to the concentration led by the Holy Spirit on that subject that we're discussing, see. So each item that we're discussing. Now this morning, I think a good way to put it is we're going to talk about bringing your home under control. Now see, when you start to bring your home under control, then you're starting to win the war. And we have tools to start to bring a home under control. Every believer has this. Okay? I say that every believer has the ability and the tools and the power to bring his home under control. And I see we had several people manifest last night and switch personalities that don't even know they've switched yet. I'm just looking around for certain people. But you see what happens when the pressure gets strong enough, everybody has buried down within them. Well, I guess everybody. We're going to diagram that on the board in a minute. But you see, buried within us over a period of centuries coming down through the family are, well, really evil spirits. And they'll lay low in a person for as long as 50 years. A guy can carry an alcohol spirit 50 years. It can enter him at the time he's a baby, and it can lay there 50 years waiting for him to take a drink or waiting to tempt him. And then he can go into a bar, or he can be in a social time. Are you an alcoholic? Oh, no, it never gives me a problem. Of course, never drank much. So he just figures he's all right, and he takes a drink and feeds that spirit, and boy, he's got to have another. And he's got to have another. That's why they put some in the people in the hospital, give them a shot of morphine, and they're a drug addict from then on. That always mystified me. How a good 16-year-old boy could just be as clean-cut as could be, and the next thing you know, you see him in 2 weeks, and he's got hair down over his ears, dirty, ragged overalls, barefooted. You wouldn't even know him. And he doesn't go back very easy. We had one father give a testimony in Muncie that his daughter, his 13, 14-year-old daughter, suddenly did that and wouldn't receive any love. She rebelled and everything. And he went in every night to the bedroom while that daughter was asleep and cast out spirits, bound spirits, come against them. And within 30 days, he said she was a lady again. See, that's the power we need. That's the power we need to change our home. Now, there's nothing dearer to a person than their children. See, I've seen people in terrible messes, but they'll do anything for their kids. See, they want their kids to be good. And, you know, I don't know but what that maybe brought me to the Lord. I don't know but what that wasn't my driving influence. I had four little boys, and I didn't want those boys to be like me, you see. In no way, shape, or form. Now, the thing of it is, so this morning, it's all going to tie together. And the main theme to keep in mind that we're going to discuss is how you stand as the deliverer of your home and children. See? And we're going to talk about tools that the Lord has. Now, it's a new subject. It is new in the fact that, but it is scriptural. And if any of you question the scripturality of what we're talking about, I want you to come to me, just like Morris did. I want you to come to me and point out these, because we're all learning together. And so far, you see, this is the best I can do on this subject. Now, the thing that we're going to discuss, I'd like for you to realize that there is a strong, if you really examine the Bible from Genesis to Revelation, I just want to say if you read it in the right light, it's deliverance from beginning to end. It is a war from beginning to end. It is a battle from beginning to end. It is absolutely from beginning to end how anybody avoids deliverance, how anybody... So you say, well, they say, well, he's just, he just got deliverance on his mind. I have deliverance on my mind for myself. I have deliverance on my mind for my family, for my wife. I can see things cropping up occasionally in my kids that I want to get rid of. Pouting, for example. I mean, pouting shouldn't exist. And if it's allowed to persist, other spirits can enter because of pouting. Temper tantrums, for example, shouldn't exist. If temper tantrums are allowed to persist, now there's more than one way to get rid of them besides hitting them up beside the head with a baseball bat, too, you see. What are our weapons? What does the Bible say our weapons are? Huh? The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're spiritual. Now, see, that includes a mother. That includes any believer that's entitled. The thing that's sad about this whole thing is we expect the preacher to do it. We expect the elder to do it. We expect the deacon to do it. We expect somebody else to do it. Well, I'll tell you, that day's over.
Amen.
Now, I want to tell you, we're living in the day and time that if a believer does not arm himself to the hilt with power and spiritual power and spiritual weapons, you're going to be confronted by evil so strong that it'll just roll over you and crush you if you can't stand and take authority. Now, that is a fact. That's what the whole thing shapes up to, you see. Either you win or they win.
And the nice part about it is, we are conquerors. I'm going to show you where you receive a spirit with Jesus Christ, a spirit of might, that means conqueror, never to be defeated, a champion, always winning through the Lord Jesus Christ's Spirit, you see. Now, let's just first look at our Jesus Christ example, and that's Luke 11:22, or thereabouts. We'll, once we get there, why, we'll zero in on it. Oh, okay. Glenn says, wait a minute, let's go back to 1 Peter 3:22. I thought we were through with that, Glenn. I thought you covered that. Okay. We made the statement yesterday that when Jesus Christ walked the earth, that He walked it as a man. With the fullness, Colossians 2:9, with the fullness of the Godhead in Him bodily. And that He had, that we might have certain things that He didn't have, and this is just something for you to pray about, see. There's a big to-do about whether we can't have authority over angels or whether we don't, see. And out of kindness to my fellow believers and so forth, and out of respect to the Father, and so that I wouldn't be trying to usurp power that I really don't have scripturally, well, I've always prayed, I ask the Father to send angels, and it's just as quick. So I just continue to use that. But in the back of my mind, I can't get rid of the thought that the fact when Jesus said, when they were coming after Him to get Him to crucify Him, why, He says, don't you know that I could call 10 legions of angels and ask my Father for them, and He'd send them. Now, the thing that I think is interesting here is that it says, and it said He was little, made a little, Psalms 8:6 says that He was made a little lower than the angels, see. Man was made a little lower than the angels. Well, now in 1 Peter 3:22 it says, who, Jesus Christ, who is gone into heaven, who is on the right hand of God, angels and authorities and powers being made subject unto Him. Now, if we got the whole load that Jesus got, you see, and we're seated up there, you ask the Father what kind of power you got. See, you study the Scriptures. You let the Father speak to you. And it, but look what that does for us. See, it says, angels and authorities and powers being made subject unto Him, being made subject to Jesus. Okay? All right, now, Luke 11:22. Okay, now, let's go back up to 20. And Jesus said, but if I with a finger of God cast out devils, no doubt the kingdom of God is come upon you. Now, you see, what He was saying, the kingdom of God, the power of God. Now, whenever you read kingdom, it's an interesting thing. That if you really study, those scriptures, you see, just come alive through the Holy Spirit in your mind. And whenever you read kingdom, you should immediately translate it into another interpretation for yourself, you see. And when you translate it, you ought to, into your own words, you see, kingdom, it actually means a base of power and authority to rule of God. See, the kingdom isn't physical. The kingdom is spiritual. And so when it speaks of kingdom, now I'm talking about the word kingdom, you can say it's the base and base of power and authority for me to rule with God. That's kingdom. And you start to read your kingdoms that way. Look, Jesus said, the kingdom of God is within you.
Yes.
Now, you know what He was saying? We're translated into the kingdom of God. That kingdom of God is a base of authority and power from which to rule. Now, what did Win Worley do when he stood up there last night? He ruled with God in saying, Satan, you can't do a thing. Look, I bind you. Your power is broken, you see. Because Jesus Christ said that in John 1:12, that I have the power. Now, you see, here we are, a little old... We come out of the past. We're going to have to look at Ephesians 1, but we won't right now. We're going to finish this. But the Bible is clear about the fact that when we're born, Satan is our father. See? Satan is our father when we're born. And the born-again experience is, when it says truth, we're going to look at the spirit of truth in a minute, and when it says truth, the real meaning of truth is, see, the only meaning that truth has, if we could get this through our head, the only meaning that truth has is that we were raised with the idea that the devil was our father and that we were natural children. Evolution, we evolved from monkeys. We had a guy working for us, and he got he told my wife that that he got nervous every fall. And it was because of his monkey blood in him. He actually, he was serious. He was a brilliant boy. His name was Lutz, wasn't it? And he was a brilliant guy. And he says his monkey blood got nervous because of the winter coming on, see? He really thought he came, his origin was in the, from the monkeys. He'd been taught that in school, see? And whenever he looked at an ape or a monkey, he could see a lot of features there. The truth actually means, see, the truth actually means that our Father is the Creator of all. See, the truth has only one meaning. And when the Spirit of Truth comes into you, it's the enlightenment that your Father is really the Creator of all. Oh, praise the Lord. The life. He's got life that He gives to us through Jesus Christ. And we become alive, you see, with power. And if we can get that through our head, that truly our Father's in heaven and not out here just out of the muck and slime and so forth and evolution and that type of thing. And that there is no reincarnation, that we're really not going to be born back, and we really weren't a butterfly, or we really weren't a dog, or we really weren't an Indian princess, or something like that, you know. You see how people get sold on that, and they're dwelling in lies, but what do they call it? Well, I found the truth. I found the truth. The devil's got his truth, see. But the truth is that we change fathers, we change natures, and when that comes into us, you see, actually, when we have the Father here, and the soul here, and the mind, and we're not going to just really dwell on and Satan over here. Okay, now, the thing of it is, when the Father actually sends His Spirit, He sends His life. He breathed the breath. Genesis, you see, those of you who haven't had it before, well, in Genesis 2:27, it says the Father, if you want to, well, put your finger in Luke there for a minute. And over here, it says in Genesis 2:20, Genesis 2, what is that? Where He formed the body, 2:7. Okay. He formed the body out of the earth. Now let's just put here, earth. The body came out of the earth. You can't deny that. The body was made out of the earth. That's what the Bible says. Okay. Then he breathed a spirit of life into him, and he became a living soul. Okay, that was Adam. Now, we know that Adam fell, and the Lord's property was his spirit. The spirit belonged to the Father. But during this time, when he had the Lord's Spirit, the Lord, in Genesis 2, 19 and 20, in Genesis 2, 19 and 20, somebody want to read that right quick?
But out of the ground, Lord, the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air, and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof.
That's fine. Thank you very much. You know something? See, when Adam was made, who made Adam? Who did the Scripture say made Adam? But there was the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost up there. Now, which one of them made Adam? Jesus Christ. It says in Colossians 1:16 that Jesus Christ made all things. It says in John 1:3 that the Word made everything. See? So actually, it was made, the Adam was made by Jesus Christ, and he had the mind of Christ. In other words, what we're going to attempt to show today and discuss today is that when Adam was made, Adam had the mind of Christ, and the Father come down and brought all the animals, all the beasts, and walked them past animal, past Adam, and Adam, having attended Kansas State Agricultural College, having been thoroughly schooled at Purdue, having gone to Oklahoma A&M, and studied horticulture and animal sciences and all that. Did he? No, he didn't, did he? No. All Adam, he was just wandering around through there dressing the thing, and I don't know what he did, hardly, because the garden was so nice, but get it out of your head that was a garden. See, they call that the Garden of Eden, but it was big. It had four rivers in it. And it formed regions when it flowed out of there. So it was a sizable area, and the Lord made him strong enough and not wearing out enough and smart enough that he could take care of that whole thing. And when he walked those animals past and flew those birds past, how many names did Adam have to come up with? 200,000 minimum. 200,000 minimum, right off the top of his head without an education. Boy, that'd be rough, wouldn't it? But you see, within Adam, made in the likeness of God, made in the image of God, he had a brilliant mind. Why, he could have rolled a shopping cart through one of our modern supermarkets and picked up 100 items and had the tally. All he had done was just look at the price and just simply had the tally before he even got to the cash register. He could take a page and he could have read it, turned right around and rewrote it, just like that. His mind was keen and sharp, and he knew things. Why? Well, because the Lord had given him the equipment and the mind of Christ and everything that he needed to exist as a ruler and to take charge of the world. Now, you see, when Adam fell... When Adam fell, and I need a paper towel eraser. You got one? Thank you. You'd taken care of that, and that's the way we are. Kenneth Hagin tells about a guy, you know, about him, about what Christians pass up. And he says that the guy, I think it was on a steamship, he bought that ticket. And so he, on the steamship, he just stayed in his room and stayed in his room and he ate oranges he took along and crackers and stuff like that and just snacked all the time. And so when he got off the boat, the skipper was saying, "Well, did you enjoy the trip? We out there a week and everything. I never did see you in the dining room." And the guy said, "Well, I made this trip. I just barely had enough money to buy my ticket. And I just ate in my room." Well, the skipper said, "My goodness, didn't you know that your meals were included on that ticket?" And he'd stay in his room all the time. Now, that's the way some believers do, see? See, we've got so much. We have so much that God wants us to have, and we don't know it's paid for. We don't know it's paid for, see? So, really, we were made like Adam. Adam was made perfect. And to be a ruler or have dominion over the earth and all that equipment, and then, of course, he fell. And when he fell, the Lord took back his spirit. You want to remember, that was the property of the Lord. And apparently there's a little bit of a thing in there that you could call a dead spirit. But anyway, his spirit died. And he lost the mind of Christ, because that is spiritual. And when Satan took over, now I think it's a very interesting thing. You want to remember that he was made out of the earth here, and that his mind, his brain, his mind became earthly. In other words, when that miraculous spirit was taken out of his mind, all that was left was the clay. Just the, what was made, just the cells and the blood and so forth. But the life-giving quality was there. So he became earthly or carnal or natural. Now, Father, I just ask for the spirit of wisdom, understanding and knowledge to be imparted to every mind here, and that we can realize what tremendous things you have for us in the way of appropriating them as your children. Now, Satan immediately became, Satan was sitting up here watching. Satan was sitting up there and he watched God form Adam. He was a former ruler of the world. And Satan actually was dispossessed by God. He was defeated. And then when Adam fell, Satan again became God of this world. Okay, now, when he became God of this world, hold your finger in Luke and just turn back to 2 Corinthians 4:4. Now, see, this is just a little bit important because this is what we're going to do this morning. We're going to take the blinders off the mind. We're going to break the bondage of Satan on the minds. We're going to show you where you've got the power to do it. 2 Corinthians 4:4. Okay, who wants to read that? Who's in good voice this morning?
In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe.
Okay.
Not.
All right, which believe not. And the most important thing, we'll just hold it there for a minute. The most important thing is to realize that everybody understands that Satan still has power. That Satan is the God of this world. His position did not change one iota. His power did not change. They're teaching today that Satan has no power. I've heard people say Satan doesn't have any power. And over again, Satan has no power. Look, the epilepsy's the same. The cancer's the same. The tumor's the same. The mental sickness is the same. The craziness is the same. Why do you think that the institutions are full of mental health problems if Satan has no power? He's still the God of this world, and he was God of this world for Adam, and Adam was then at his mercy, and what did he start loading Adam with? Well, we talked about that the other morning, but he loaded Adam. I want you to run a little, just a little study for yourself. But I maintain that everything that's listed as a, I think it's a lust of the flesh. In Galatians, it lists the problems of the flesh. And every one of them occur in the mind, so far as I can see. See, every one of them occur in the mind. Now, the thing that I'm saying is that he loaded the body and he loaded the mind. He loaded the carnal or natural mind with demons. And he loaded them with so many and has done such a good job hiding them that now after centuries, he's had. If it hadn't been for the restrainer that it talks about in Thessalonians, by the mercy of God, we've just been, Satan has been restrained, and we're not in a lot worse shape than we are. But you see, the aging started in, and into that carnal mind came spirits. In other words, if the Lord does His work with spirit, Satan does his work with spirits. Spirits of heaviness, spirits of lunacy, madness. The Bible lists a lot of evil spirits. Now, those evil spirits in the centuries embedded themselves so well that we discount them as inheritance, for example. I inherited worry. You know, my Aunt Alda worried a lot, and Marcus worries just like her. Little Billy has tantrums just like Uncle Joe did. I can remember when Uncle Joe was a little bitty boy, you know, and he had tantrums, and now Billy has tantrums. Well, it's no wonder that you got diabetes because, you know, Grandma had diabetes, and then Aunt Sumpshut had diabetes. And down through the way, you see, down through the way comes the works of the devil. Now, the works of the devil came on down, and now we're ready for something. We are ready for salvation. And we're ready for it, aren't we? Okay. Now, let's look at Luke 11:20. But if I were the finger of God, cast out devils, no doubt the kingdom of God has come upon you. 21, when a strong man armed. Strong man, does that sound familiar? See, Jesus used the term. The devil has over, as the god of this world, he's been able to place. Who do you think Wynn was talking to last night? When he was talking to the principalities, authorities, and powers, and started way up there in the heavenlies, you see. Have you ever wondered about that verse where it said, since John the Baptist, heaven has suffered violence, and the violence take it before us, you see? Well, I'm telling you, that's what we're doing. We're just simply taking it by force. And when a strong man arm keepeth his place. Now, let's just kind of make a little example of a man here. And he has a strong man over him. There's a strong man over Arkansas. There's a strong man over Hot Springs. There's a strong man over this county. There's a strong man over the township. There's a strong man over the school. Strong man over every church here. There's a strong man over every individual here. So Jesus said himself. Now remember, this is Jesus speaking of casting out devils. When a strong man armed. Okay, he's got a strong man, and how's he armed? Oh, he's got the spirit of lies. He's got the spirit of stealing. He's got the spirit of rebellion. He's got the spirit of pride. You're going to tell me what to do? Huh. Oh, you punk. You can't talk to me like that. Who's got more pride than anybody? The lowest of the lowest. The guy that's in the most trouble. The guy sitting in his jail cell. Oh, I don't need God. Just look at me. I'm successful. You know, I can get along without that. Who is that talking? Boy, that is the carnal mind. And now today, students, we're going to talk about how Molly, a little bit of green slime, and Polly, a little bit of gray slime, washed up on the beach and happened to lodge on a rock. And they got together on that rock, and the sun came out. And the sun came out, and they got together, and first thing you know, there was three cells. And then the sun came out, and the water washed up again, and left a little sodium and a little magnesium, and then there was 10 cells. And then, all of a sudden, that thing grew a fin, and it swam back in the ocean. And then it made some more little things like that. And then it got up a stream. And then it crawled out on the bank. And that's where we came from. And there's college, real guys with doctor's degrees teaching that stuff. Amen. They're teaching that stuff. Out of what? The carnal mind. Sponsored by who? Who is their sponsor? The god of this world. Oh, my. What kind of shape does God must think we're in when he looks down here and see us doing that? Wonderful educations of learning. Tremendous. Okay, so this strong man, armed with all of those spirits of education, spirits of false knowledge, spirits of wisdom of man, spirits of idolatry of the mind, spirits of worshiping cars, spirits of worshiping the golf course, worshiping recreation. Look at my boat. Woo! 28 foot long. Do you want to hear the motor run? Man, is that great. Sponsored by the carnal mind. Sponsored by the carnal mind, see? Okay, so the strong man is armed with demons, with evil spirits. And he says, his goods are in, he keepeth his palace, and his goods are in peace. Why? Because he's got that guy fighting everybody that comes around. He's mad at anybody that mentions a scripture to him. It just, boy, he blows up any time you try to talk to him about God. He thinks that you're fools. Now, when a stronger than that comes upon him, let's just put a stronger than that upon him. Whoa! Right from the Father. With all authority. the Holy Spirit comes upon him. The Holy Spirit comes upon him, and what does it say he does? Well, you saw it occur last night. When a stronger than he shall come upon him and overcome him, you bind him, you see. He taketh from him all his armor. In other words, every evil spirit can be cast out. That's what a person is in the process of doing. And like Wynn says, that doesn't happen quickly sometimes. Some people happen a lot faster than others. But I'd say on the average, to get good deliverance, it takes about 2 to 3 years to have an attitude of deliverance. The important thing is the attitude of deliverance. To know what can be done to all the undesirable characteristics within you.
This is the end of Part A. Please play Part B. Thank you. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com or LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.